Remake 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Captain J-Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app in partnership with PointsBet Sportsbook, and win $400 on your bets throughout the month of great college hoops. Here is Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we this morning?
How are you, buddy?
Feeling like a Spartan this morning.
Yeah, well, good, because me too. I finally don't have to hate my team anymore, making the Sweet 16 and shocking me. I've never been so happy to be wrong about something.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. We'll all end up with egg on our face once in a while.
I prefer not to have egg on my face. In my belly, yes. Face, no. Unless it's good for the skin.
Exactly.
Maybe it is.
Is it good for the skin? I don't know if
it's really good for the skin.
Okay. I don't know if I want that on the skin. All I know is that I give him a lot of credit, Tom Izzo, for hanging in there. Don't know how many more years he's got to coach, but I enjoy watching his teams. In March, it's January, there's February, and then there's Izzo.
It's January, February, Izzo.
Yeah, we can say that again.
It's crazy, man.
Now, finally, we can say that again. I'll accept it. All right, let's get to it. The Carolina Panthers owe their 2024 first-round pick to the Bears, as we know. But they've made some really interesting free agency decisions, if you've paid attention. They've signed Miles Sanders, a guy who doesn't run through contact and was left out of the Eagles' offense pretty much entirely in the playoffs. All of his carries went to Kenneth Gainwell. They also signed Adam Thielen, a guy who the Vikings lopped off their team for free, and they signed both of them to multi-year deals. They have Sanders for 4, Thielen for 3. Kind of doesn't make sense given the fact they just gave up or traded up to get a quarterback. They feel like they're in a rebuilding phase. So my question, shot or no shot, when you see them make these signings, you're even more confident that Bears pick's going to convey in the top 5.
My only concern is they're in a bad division. Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield's the new guy in Tampa. Like, I don't know. Would I be shocked if all of a sudden I looked up and that team, Carolina, won 9 games and won the division at 9-8? I wouldn't be stunned. I wouldn't be stunned if they went 4-13 and we picked number 1. So I'm kind of betwixt and between.
But I'm going to pick one, and I'll say the latter, what you just said. I just think, like, I know how bad the NFC South is. I expect the Saints to win the NFC South.
Probably.
I just look at quarterback play. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know, whether it's under 500 or not, I believe that they'll be the best team in the NFC South. And I also believe that the Carolina Panthers are rebuilding towards something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't expect them to be a juggernaut. I don't expect them to even be in second place. I expect the Bears to have a top pick because of Carolina's rebuild. That's what I believe. So it's to me, I expect the Bears to once again have a top pick, top 3 pick, top 5 in next year's draft.
That would be incredible.
I think so. I think it's likely. What's Carolina's hurry? Where are you going?
Well, I mean, can you imagine? And again, I hope the Bears go 17-0. Let me be clear. But they have no pass rush and did not spend much on a pass rush in free agency. Let's assume that the Bears do not make the playoffs and they have okay, but we see progress. Good young players. It's just they're not there yet. And they got 2 picks in the top 10. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
You should be adding 2 studs.
It's a Lions-like build in that regard.
Correct.
When you're doing that.
Correct. Correct.
Shay.
All right, don't look now, boys, but the Bulls are putting together a bit of their own March run. They've won back-to-back games, 6 of their last 10. They're back in position to make the play-in tournament with a game-and-a-half lead over the 11th-place Pacers. But most importantly, since adding Patrick Beverley to the rotation, they're the number one defense in the NBA. Shot or no shot, no matter what happens the rest of the season, even with this small sample, it proves the Bulls lineup can work with a true point guard.
That's a shot. Someone has to stabilize the team. That's a shot. When LaVine's playing off the ball more times than not, that seems to work. The small sample size that we saw from Lonzo Ball cap showed us that not only was he a very good perimeter defender, but also just getting the ball where it needs to be in spots where LaVine likes it, where DeRozan likes it, where Vucevic likes it. I think that's a good thing. Beverly has made a difference and actually scoring more than I thought he would with his Bulls team.
He, what do you have, 17 the other night?
17 and 4.
So he had 10 rebounds the other day.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. He's not a great player. He's a really good player. Mm-hmm. This team has been underrated for their defense over the last 2 months. They've been a much better defensive team than we have given them credit for. It's a shot. But the fact that management went into this season and did nothing about perimeter shooting or a point guard that could play if Lonzo couldn't tells you all you need to know about the front office and how they let you down this year.
How about this, Shay? Talk about someone that has got egg on his face. I'm happy to see what the Bulls are doing defensively. I've been waiting for that for as long as Donovan's been here. And I'm the first to tell you, I never thought this Bulls team would be any good defensively. I know that they have enough scoring punch, but I never thought they'd be good enough to be able to get it done defensively. Again, small sample size, but take your hat off to the Bulls and what they've been able to do. Because they always have enough to score, Cap, but defensively was always my issue. Why are you losing against bad teams? It's because you don't guard. But Beverly, there's something to be said about someone that's holding the team accountable. In this league, it should come from the coaching staff. And they do, coaches do what they can do. But in this players' league, the players have to hold themselves accountable. And Beverly is that guy.
He is.
He wears thin on today's players because he's old school and said, hey, man, you got to be in your right position when I pass you the ball. Hey, and some young players don't like that. They don't like the accountability. You know why? Because they've never been yelled at in high school. They weren't yelled at AAU.
No one's ever held them accountable.
They weren't yelled at in college if they went to college. And they come to pros, and they don't expect to be yelled at either. So when you have a player that's holding them accountable, who are you talking to? I'm Pat Bev. That's who you're talking to. I'm talking to you. You're not doing – like Vucevic recoiled. Remember when Beverly first got here? Like Beverly was all in Vucevic's face. And Vucevic like turned away like – like, what do you mean? I'm talking to you, big man. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. There was a disconnect there.
Correct.
People got to understand.
And now they're on the same page.
Because Beverly wants to win.
He does.
So I think that if the defense is better, I will give Beverly a lot of credit for holding it together and holding the team accountable. Valuable.
Agreed. Bring him back then.
Fair. Because you ain't going to see Lonzo Ball anytime soon.
No. So. I would be surprised if Lonzo Ball ever plays for the Bulls again. I'd be surprised. Shay.
All right, boys. The White Sox are finding quite a bit of success in the World Baseball Classic. Despite leaving with an injury yesterday, Yoan Moncada hit .435 in 23 at-bats with a home run. Tim Anderson hit .313 in the tournament. He smoothly transitioned to second base, too. And probably the most encouraging, Eloy Jimenez went 5 of 11. He returned to White Sox camp. Pedro Grifol offered him some time off. He said, nope, got to get ready for the season. Shot or no shot? The Sox playing well in the WBC and being this motivated actually gives you confidence for them in the season?
Well, okay. So, Cap, I look at the World Baseball Classic like I look at spring training because they're playing in March. They're trying to get their swing and their pitching and everything else together for opening day and for the long stretch in Major League Baseball. So the World Baseball Classic, even though it may mean a lot to individual players, those from Cuba and Mexico, United States, it may mean something because it feels definitely elevated from spring training. But I would say that's a no shot. I would say that this is like an elevated spring training for them, where I feel good about the White Sox being in the wild card this upcoming season. We haven't made our official predictions yet, but I feel like they're a wild card team, second place in the American League Central. But I don't know if World Baseball Classic makes me feel like the Sox are ready to go.
Yeah, for a baseball fan, and I'm a diehard, I have not watched much of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hardly any. And haven't been running to my phone to check scores. And I love baseball. I can't wait for opening day. The World Baseball Classic, for whatever reason, is not compelling to me.
I enjoy it. Yeah, I've been enjoying it. Haven't watched a lot of it, but when I know the White Sox are playing, like we saw the USA against Cuba. That was Sunday. It was yesterday, right? USA against Cuba, and we saw five White Sox involved. I'm interested. Absolutely. I haven't watched every game, but I like to see the Sox out there playing.
Five?
And, yeah.
Abreu's not on the Sox anymore.
I don't mean Abreu. I meant Andrew Vaughn representing Cuba. No, but I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed what I've seen from the White Sox. But those five or six players that are involved that I've been keen watching, it's not the same, Cap, as watching the entire ball club, because that's just a few guys. This could go either way. You can get hot from the World Baseball Classic. All of a sudden, all that emphasis that you had, it's gone away. April and May, you get cold. I don't want to see that from the Sox, because you played so hard in the World Baseball Classic that you don't play well in April and May. I don't want to see that. So I just think that it's a no shot for me.
Shay.
All right, Hoodie, you have this Larsa Pippen audio. She got a little bit real about her and her time with Scottie Pippen.
Let's listen to this. I said four times a night, every night. I never had a day off for 23
wait,
years.
Wait, hold on, what?
What?
Yeah. Yes.
What? Your poor vagina.
You had sex 28 times a week.
Yeah, I swear.
For but with 23 years?
Yeah.
So on the road, too, when he was traveling?
I don't understand. We never spent time away from each other. Okay. Like, we had a private plane. I traveled intense. With my kids. Well, yeah.
Four times a night for 23 years, she said she had sex during her marriage with Scottie Pippen. Shot or no shot, she's full of it.
That's a shot, because there is no chance raising her kids that every single road game she was there. No shot. I remember back in the day, Michael would be at one table, Scotty'd be at another table at dinner. There was no Larsa there.
I had sex four times a night, every night. I never had a day off for 23 years.
Wait, hold on, what?
What?
Yeah. Yes.
What? Your poor vagina.
You had sex 28 times a week.
Yeah, I swear.
For but with 23 years?
Yeah.
So on the road, too, when he was traveling?
I don't understand. We never spent time away from each other. Okay. Like, we had a private plane. I traveled with my kids. Well, yeah,
that's and the question is what now?
Shot or no shot, she's full of it.
I'm not saying they didn't get the nasty on, but not every single night.
Four times a night.
That's a no shot. Actually, I think she's right. I believe her.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you mean, oh, my gosh, honey? Yeah, no. I believe she's right, Cap. She didn't say it was always with Scotty.
Wow.
No shot, dude. Four times a night's crazy.
Yeah, there's
a stamina bar that I don't believe you can meet.
There's no chance.
Four times a night?
That is a more impressive thing than Wilt Chamberlain.
She didn't say it was with Scotty. Did she?
That's 33,580 times in 23 years.
She didn't say
shout out John No H and Twitch.
She didn't say it was with Scotty.
Yeah.
There's no way.
There's no chance.
Okay.
No chance.
Mm-hmm. Four times a night, she said, right?
Four times a night.
I mean, again, Scotty would be much less of a player if that was the case.
There's zero chance because...
But someone else?
Hmm. Yeah. No. She's talking about with him.
Don't think so.
I do.
Did she say that? You heard the soundbite.
Yeah.
She said she traveled. Didn't say that she was. It was always with Scotty.
Scotty's the GOAT, man. And something.
No wonder he had such back issues. If that was the case, no wonder his back always was acting up on him. Oh, if that was the case,
my back's killed me.
Yeah. 312-332 ESPN 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show with more. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, boys, let's get started in the NFC North. The Lions made a move yesterday. It kind of signals they think they can win as early as right now. They went out and signed Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to an $8 million one-year deal, kind of a steal for his efforts in their defensive backfield. It's now been said their defensive backfield is the most upgraded position unit in football. It was one of the worst last year. It now looks poised to be at least above average, if not one of the better units in the league. They're now the favorite to win the NFC North. Could they really do this? Like, is it time that we stop talking about the Lions lioning and just have to admit they might really just be ready to go?
Well, as long as they stay healthy, I don't see why not. Why can't they be that? Look, there's been a lot of movement with this Lions team. They've been down for a long time. And look at all the – you can just tell that the front office, before you even see them on the field, Cap, the front office has a commitment to try to get this team right. They're on the precipice of getting into the playoffs and fell short. And now look at what they've done.
Okay, so I am on the odds for this coming season.
Yeah.
The Lions are the favorite, clearly, in the NFC North, plus 160. Bet 100 to win $160 in profit. Like, a major favorite. And they are also the hot ticket in Vegas so far, 10-1 to win the NFC and represent them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you jump on that right away. And by the way, I would say this if Rodgers was still in the division. How about
100%. He was there this year, and the Lions knocked him out in Lambeau the last game of the season.
So I feel good about the Lions. And again, this is everything that they've been able to put together. And so now they just have to stay healthy and then move forward. Where are they in the NFC? I don't know yet. Let's get to the draft. Let's get to the rest of free agency. But just as is, the additions that they've put on this ball club, really, really sound work by their front office.
Yeah, very, very good team. They've got a lot of talent. I love their coach, Dan Campbell, and we'll see. Can they get it done? I hope so for their sake, but I hope so for our sake. We have finally turned the corner in the rebuild and starting to move in a positive direction.
I always know that I'm a little bit of a different fan than most. I'm not trying to separate myself from the pack or try to be smarter than everyone else because I'm not. What I'm saying is that when your team's down, whatever your favorite team is, you look up and you say, how can my team be able to be that good? Whether it's a Super Bowl or a perennial playoff team, if my team is not there, I'm always wondering, not from jealousy, but just curiosity of how my team could be that good. And same thing with the Bears. They're building towards something, but look what the Lions have done. They put together a blueprint that could be sustainable for some time to come. Since the Fonz era.
So I just looked up. PointsBet didn't have it yet. DraftKings does. I just looked up. You can bet specific Super Bowl matchups. Specific. Jets-Lions. Snarling. Jets-Lions. Pays plus $12,000. $100 wins you $12,000 if it's that matchup.
And that's, of course, that's what you're betting on because those are your two teams that you put in a while ago.
Correct. Lions, Packers.
What does it say about Cap that he's on the Lions and Aaron Rodgers? As a Bears fan, this is where he's chosen to make his alignment for next season.
Well, I don't think the Bears can make a run next year. 24 and 25, yeah, that we should. Brian does his job, polls. Then, yes, they should be adding a bunch of talent. But going into this season, if they get the deal done with the Jets, that team's pretty damn good.
Big IF there in Rodgers, still waiting. Still waiting for him to be a Jet. I just think that same Aaron Rodgers, who underachieved with the Packers over the last, decade plus, it could still be the same underachieving quarterback with the Jets. And again, it comes from his arm. No matter what's on that roster, it's him. He's underachieved. Shay.
All right, there's been
MVPs.
I know what he wants. Individual accomplishments are not Super Bowl championships.
True.
But I appreciate the LinkedIn resume. Shay.
Wow.
I believe we are on the sixth day of free agency being actually officially open.
Yep.
We have not seen any potential suitor kind of convincingly linked to Lamar Jackson. Are we at a point where he's just going to be the Ravens quarterback? Because nobody seems to want to pay the piper for him.
I think you're right.
Would you be surprised if the Jet decided not to go get him, All right, we're done dealing with you, Green Bay. You're not getting the 13th pick in the first round. That's where the Jets pick. Mm-hmm. You're not getting it. You're not. Peter King in his Football Morning in America, which a huge thing on the Bears in there, must read. But we'll get to that in a second. He also has in there what the deal should look like. Second round pick this year and a conditional pick if Aaron plays a second season and he takes you deep in the playoffs, that would be next year's first round pick. That sounds like a fair deal to me.
It does.
So we'll see.
Shay.
Something else that stood out to me from Football Morning in America, talking about the Denver Broncos signing Jarrett Stidham, 2 years, $10 million, $5 million guaranteed. Stidham has started two games in his four-year NFL career. That's it. Remember last year against the 49ers for the Raiders, put up 365 passing yards, three touchdown passes. The Raiders scored 34 points in that game. The question here is this. At $10 million over 2 years, $5 million a year, he's one of the higher paid backups in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Is Sean Payton kind of pushing Russell Wilson with this?
Oh, I think so. And I think yes, and yet they did not have a viable backup behind Russell Wilson. They needed somebody. Jared Guarantano, that's the third stringer.
Right. I don't think he's pushing Russell Wilson. Russell's getting $230 million or whatever he got, $250. He's their guy. They're going to do everything they can to make that work because they got so much invested in him and all the draft capital they sent away to get him. He saw a guy that he could make a backup and said, you know what? Maybe he becomes an asset they can trade or develop. Sean's a wizard, so... Yeah, I don't think he's pushing him because it's clearly Russ's job.
So if I said Russell Wilson, Shay, Javonte Williams, and Samaje Perine at running back, Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver, Courtland Sutton at wide receiver, when you say that, especially with that offense, if Russell Wilson is right under the right tutelage, now that Peyton is the head coach, can't they turn this around a little bit? Can they get better than what they were last year?
It depends if he can be any good. And I think what we saw last season, where everybody kind of ended their year assuming Denver was going to be this 10-11 win kind of juggernaut with Russell Wilson, get him away from Pete Carroll, a team will finally let him do his thing, and it just went up in flames. You start to wonder, if Russell Wilson comes out and doesn't look right and the offense is being held back by him, they didn't make Jarrett Stidham one of the higher paid backups in football for no reason.
Yes, Cap, because you got to think about the future. I mean, right now, you're trying to get all you can out of Russell Wilson. How many good years does he have left? We don't put him on the same plane as Rodgers and Brady.
Correct, because he's coming off such a horrible year. Like, those guys, when their teams don't play well, their numbers are still really good. That's the problem.
All right, coming up, we'll talk to Courtney Cronin, get her thoughts about the latest Bears moves and moves around the National Football League. That's coming up. Don't forget, we got baseball with Jesse Rogers in 45 minutes. At 9:18, we get a chance to talk to Jesse about Cubs, Sox, and everything else Major League Baseball. All part of the mix. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Bulls put together a 113-99 victory against the Miami Heat on Saturday, propelling them back into the play-in tournament in the standings. The Bulls hold a game-and-a-half lead over the 11th-place Pacers with 12 games to play. Yoan Moncada of the Chicago White Sox, he exited the World Baseball Classic yesterday with a rib injury after colliding with Royal Santos while tracking down a fly ball. He is day-to-day with a bruised rib. The Detroit Lions are loading up for the post-Aaron Rodgers NFC North signing former Eagle safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson to a one-year deal. And it was a 14-2 victory for the United States over Team Cuba last night.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Capman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin.
National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Love when we get a chance to talk to Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears of the National Football League for ESPN and ESPN.com. She joins us here on the Cap'n Jay Hood Show on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
That's a fine.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
It's a fine, Courtney.
Hey, guys, how are you?
How are you? We heard the cough.
It's not my smoker cough or whatever you insinuated that one time. I promise. I don't have one of those. It's just it's early, so we're getting the voice ready.
We heard you, Maude, with the loud
Maude.
And there you go with the big cough.
Why do I turn into an 80-year-old woman whenever I cough?
Sounds like the author.
So, Bernie's bookbank.org. Next time you're in, $1 for that cough.
She's here Friday.
Okay. Make sure that she pays.
Take that dollar bill.
That's exactly right. Courtney, before we talk about the Bears, we were just talking about the Lions and around the National Football League and the moves that they've made. Again, you never confuse activity with accomplishment. But however, what the Lions are doing, to me, filling in some roster spots are impressive. What stands out to you about what the Lions are doing?
I mean, the C.J. Gardner-Johnson acquisition last night, I think it's a really good one because – he probably overplayed his hand a little bit with what the Eagles were doing in their, you know, with Darius Slay and obviously James Bradbury. And so there's not a spot for him. He's looking at the dollar signs and saying, I'm not going to make that in Philadelphia. Where can I try to go get close to that? And it's a really good value deal that he got from Detroit. I think you go back to the draft last year and what they did, how active they were, especially in the early rounds, getting impact players for not just like the short term, which we saw in Aiden Hutchinson, he was, but you know, the Jameson Williams deal where he's coming off the ACL and you knew that the impact wouldn't be right away, but it sets you up on offense for the future. Like, these are some really smart moves. And then low key, they might have had one of the better free agencies of teams in the NFC. I mean, the Bears had a great free agency, and I think that you could probably put them up there as one of the, if not the best in the NFC North. But the Lions continue to build in a very methodical way. It kind of reminds me how Ryan Poles has taken his approach of not necessarily for 2023, but thinking 2024, 25, when they can really contend. And Detroit has, you know, they're probably a year ahead of where Chicago is right now because they started this same process when Brad Holmes was hired and Dan Campbell was hired in 2021. So maybe this is foreshadowing what Chicago could look like, but I really like what they've done. And certainly I think it was a smart play for them to tap into David Montgomery too. And I mean, maybe they overpaid for him if that's what we're looking at with running back contracts from free agency till now. But I thought it was a good move for them to scoop in and get him. It's just an upgrade over what they had in Jamal Williams.
So let's talk about the Austin Eckler is still out there. There are some Jadeveon Clowney, I believe, is still out there. Are the Bears done with substantial moves in free agency? And what about extensions? Cole Kmet, they did let David Montgomery get away for not a lot of money. So what are they going to do there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is the second, third wave, whatever you want to call it, a free agency. Now you're filling gaps on the roster, and you're not overpaying to do that because there are some bigger names, like you mentioned, that are still out there, but you don't have to, you know, back up the Brinks truck to get Jadeveon Clowney if you wanted him. Is he a fit? Like, I'm not so, you know, he's been on a lot of different teams these past few years, and, you know, the way that things ended for him, I think, with Cleveland, you know, probably... You know, that you have to take that into consideration about, you know, him bouncing around a bunch of different places. Would he stick here long term? The fact is that the contracts they're signing for guys right now, whether it's Robert Tonyan, Deontay Foreman, like, these are not long term deals. So you can not have to overpay and get somebody who can fill a hole for a year or two. And if they pan out the way that maybe Ryan Poles thought last year with certain guys that they brought in, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown is probably the first one that I think of somebody who came in on a short-term deal, a prove-it deal, and they liked him enough to re-sign him, and I believe they did it in December. But finding those guys that you can continue to build around on a trial basis will probably be their priority here the next 2-3 weeks. And of course, after the draft, there's always that, you know, other free agency period we don't typically talk about with the people who are post June 1 cuts, if they haven't been released already or if they're still on the roster. I mean, that's, you look at teams for guys who might be potential cap casualties at that point that you can add with. But they've got money still to spend, but we've talked about the fact that they don't need to spend everything. They can roll some of that over into their cap next year. So, of course, you're looking at the eligible guys for extensions. Cole Kmet's one of those people. Jalen Johnson's one of those people. And we know how highly Brian Poles thinks of Cole Kmet. He's, you know, constantly brought him up as a core player on this team, a building block for what they're doing. But with Robert Tonyan now in the mix, I'm curious what that's going to make Cole Kmet's role morph into. Does Kmet take a different path and become more of a blocking tight end in this offense with Tonyan in the fold? Because we know how successful he was as the, you know, stretching the field vertically in Green Bay. So maybe there is a morphing of roles that shouldn't affect value overall of how much they would, you know, value his contract and what an extension would look like. But that is something to consider when they're like working out their finances and what this looks like going forward. But I do anticipate, you know, we haven't seen them give extensions yet, like to the level of, you know, you've been here for a couple of years, the draft and developed guys. So we'll see what the timing of that looks like. If that's closer to the start of the regular season, is that something they try to get done in the next couple of months? And that's another thing, another unknown of Ryan Poles in this front office, how they're going to execute in their business strategy that way.
Cap, there's already an issue. Nate Davis is already questionable on this depth chart on ESPN.com.
Yeah, what is that?
He's already questionable.
He's got a Q next.
There's a Q next.
Did they forget
to
like take the designation off from like a fantasy thing from last year?
It must have.
It's still got questionable. I'm already concerned, Courtney. Your thoughts. Nate Davis already questionable. No, what I want to ask is so it's something that Cap and I have kicked around a little bit regarding the next couple of years. We understand the path that the Bears are taking as far as slow playing this thing. You know, they should have it on a T-shirt up there that we're going to do this the right way. Okay, fine. But how do we measure Justin Fields and his development versus how the Bears are trying to slowly develop this team and mold and shape it into a perennial winner? Because, you know, we don't know what the win total for the Bears is going to be this upcoming season. But if you're still trying to figure out, okay, who's our guys on the defensive line? Okay, what's the offensive line going to look like in a couple of years? Then how do you measure Justin Fields and whether or not you're going to pay him after his rookie deal based on how they're trying to do business?
Well, I think the good thing for Fields is that the players that they have and the players that they brought in are on his timeline. DJ Moore's 25 years old. Justin's 23. Mooney and Claypool are in that same range, too, where everybody's contracts more or less line up. So they're trying to build something where they have, you know, a group that's kind of matriculating together. And I think you're still looking at Justin Fields hoping that, okay, this year they start putting more pieces around him. And we know that they're not done by any stretch. Like, I mean, still, I think Ryan Poles was leaning on that last week, that it's still the early part of free agency. You might be looking for rank and file NFL players now, but you're not done adding. And of course, there's the draft, and they've got some really good draft capital, 4 picks in the top 64, I believe, to start to continue adding to the roster. And maybe that's where you end up spending big with your draft capital on the offensive line. So all of that is going to help you find out whether Justin Fields is the guy. I mean, year three is way more pivotal than year two, because if it doesn't look like the pieces are all falling into place by the end of the season, then you're probably thinking, all right, are we looking to move on? And you don't want to be in that spot. You'd like the quarterback that you are believing you can invest in, and certainly was such a huge draw to a lot of the free agents that signed. I thought that was pretty notable, just hearing even some of the defensive players talk about wanting to play with Justin Fields. But the belief is there. Now they just have to continue to add around him. And as we know from Ryan Poles, this is going to be a methodical process. It's not going to be trying to, you know, open the floodgates and fix all of their wrongs all at once, because there still are a lot of holes on this roster, and that's going to certainly play into how Justin Fields can perform this year. And you hope that they aren't so sizable that it won't make like that big of a difference if they don't have one of the guard spots completely set, even though I think now with Nate Davis in the fold and then moving some pieces around, they will. But there's time. There's still time, like, on their side to make sure that they can get a better valuation on Justin Fields. And that certainly started with the emphasis that they had on getting the deal done to move the number one pick, because they were really coveting DJ Moore in that haul.
Courtney, I'll see you on Friday. We'll see if there's any more Bears news this week. But have a great rest of your day. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. I'll bring my dollar.
Bring it in. We'll see you. Courtney Cronin, Double C, our Bears insider.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
The great Tom Izzo at 9 o'clock on Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hoodie, I don't get the whole skateboard thing. Lady just went by on the skate. I don't get the skateboard thing.
Well, Cap, it's something that was trendy when we were coming up, and now it's in vogue. It's a mode of travel, trying to get someplace faster.
Like, I get the motorized ones that you can rent or you can buy. One of my kids bought one.
You mean the ones you see at the grocery store? You mean the little motorized buggy?
No, not the carts that the...
You can get a lot of stuff in that cart up front.
No.
You use that?
No. Not the cart that the... I'm going to get myself in trouble here.
The what? Old people use? Is that what you're going to say? The old people at the Jewels use. Is that what you're going to say?
Kind of. So, I'm talking about the little motorized scooter that the kids stand up on and they ride around. Mm-hmm. Yes. To go to work. Those I get. They're motorized. This lady had her backpack on. She has a coffee in one hand and she's, run two steps, jump back on, let it keep going. I'm like, how are you drinking your coffee on that thing?
Good lid.
I guess.
Good lid on the top.
Must.
Listen, man. Things have come back around where it's like, okay, I just don't want to just walk 12 blocks. 60. People are not climbing mountains like you every day. Some people just want to get to someplace faster. Like you in Seattle climbing that mountain.
And you know what the name of the mountain was?
What's that?
Cougar Mountain. I heard Cougar Mountain. I thought it was going to be a bunch of hot 40 plus.
Shout out to Larsa Pippen.
Right. I thought like it'd be like 100 Larsa Pippens out there hiking. It was, the mountain was called Cougar Mountain because they spotted some cougars there.
Well, why would you be, if they were cougars, they wouldn't be going for you. They might be going for your kid.
Maybe. But.
Or maybe you. Maybe they're interested in you.
I wasn't interested in them. I'm happily married.
Sugar daddy, maybe.
Right.
It's probably so. I mean, all of a sudden you're, boy, this is really taking a long time.
I have sex four times a night.
Excuse me?
Every night. I never had a day off.
Ma'am, excuse me.
Wait, hold on. What?
What?
Yes. Excuse me.
Yes.
What? Your poor vagina.
You had sex 28 times a week.
Yeah.
Just trying to climb here.
But with 28
to step.
3 years?
Yeah. Getting my
on the road, too, when he was traveling?
I don't know. We never spent time away from each other. Okay. We had a private plane. I traveled with my kids.
Excuse me. I'm trying to climb. Did you say you have sex how many times? Now I can't put one foot in front of the other. My God! My cap's out.
Well, probably neither can she. Four times a night. Good God.
I mean,
wow.
But that's why they do it, Cap, because they like to be able... I mean, and for some, that's exercise. Okay. Get the one hoof going. Getting that skateboarding in?
Oh, the skateboarding.
Yeah,
you're talking about the
Larsa. Not Larsa, no. Not her. She's apparently got plenty of exercise.
Yes, plenty.
That's courtesy of Bravo, by the way. Wow. That clip. So that's all I look at.
Now, do you think it's four times a night for her or for him? Because it could be a two-pump issue here. Maybe it's four times a night for Scotty.
It does explain the back problems, but I don't believe that that's true. I don't believe that's all with him. Especially based on the stories we read about Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan. Is that Jordan's son?
Yes.
Yes. So there you go.
But Scotty and her are long divorced.
Yeah, as far as we know.
No, they're long divorced.
Yes.
Yes. Long separated.
She just wants to be a story. I totally understand. I get it. Cap, today is National Ravioli Day. Where, as a kid, were you a ravioli guy?
I was. I liked ravioli.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I haven't had ravioli, like the canned stuff, Chef Boyardee.
Yes.
I haven't had any of that stuff in decades. But I've had ravioli at a like an Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
You'd rather have it in Chicago than St. Louis, then.
St. Louis is fried ravioli.
You don't
That's
like
their
that.
Big thing.
Yes, the toasted ravioli.
I had it toasted ravioli. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I had it once, and I thought it was pure garbage.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
It just
like, really? This is what your guys' big thing is down here.
Whatever your fare is, that's fine. Like, you know, whatever is a specialty in that town doesn't necessarily mean I have to try it.
Correct.
Same thing in Cincinnati.
That's correct.
Ugh.
Cincinnati skyline chili, just disgusting. Awful. Yeah.
But see, it's interesting. Wherever you travel, people talk about each other's, you know, famous thing that they eat. Like, they think anytime you come to Chicago, you have to have a stuffed pizza.
Or deep dish.
Or deep dish pizza. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. They don't know that you and I, if we're going to have pizza, we don't mind the tavern style.
Yeah, I'll have. There's no such thing as bad pizza.
Correct. But it doesn't necessarily mean like everybody has the same pizza all the time.
Correct.
But if ask someone, an average person from New York, they think that you guys don't have pizza. You have casserole. Up yours. It's not casserole.
Correct. It's delicious, but we'll also eat thin crust.
Of course.
So.
More times than not.
Totally.
So that's the case. We're going to hear from the great Tom Izzo coming up at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, live on the show. Tom Izzo on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Oh.
Looking forward
to it. Is he there now? Is he there now?
No, coming
okay,
up.
Okay.
Coming up.
Okay.
After the break.
Tom Izzo, Michigan State advances to the Sweet 16, 3-0 all-time against Marquette. And by the way, which one of your Sweet 16 appearances for Marquette do you like the best? Jay, which one are you under the, or Shaka Smart teams?
Hit the dial tone on that one.
So I'm just asking.
Two tournament wins in a decade for Shaka. Nice work there.
Izzo won his 16th NCAA tournament game as a lower-seeded team, passing Jim Boeheim for the most in NCAA tournament history. You think about Raleigh Massimino and Lute Olson, Boeheim, and now Izzo. Shaka Smart, Marquette coach, on his team losing to Michigan State.
I'm big on appreciation, and I think that this group, as much as any that I've been around, has had a true appreciation for every moment, every opportunity that we've had, whether it's been in front of you guys or not. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we've done behind the scenes. Going back to the summer, you know, Ben, our guys went up to Travis Diener's spot and played a pickup game against the TBT guys in the middle of the summer. And, you know, I think they kind of surprised themselves with how competitive they were.
It's a fine.
And really that set a tone with what we could be, what we thought we could be, which is better than most people gave us credit for.
Hey, they got a job done in the Big East.
What was Shaka doing yesterday, by the way? Short sleeve polo shirt over a long sleeve, like under. It looked ridiculous. It's not a winning outfit. You've got to show up dressed for success. You knew when Shaka walked in the building, short sleeve polo over long sleeves, they were going home. That's not a winning outfit.
I love the white. I said to my wife, that shirt that Izzo was wearing, that white, like Michigan State. Quarters that thing was sick.
He's good at that. Tom dresses nicely on the sideline. Shaka looked ridiculous. Respectfully to Shaka Smart, wear a winning outfit to your tournament game.
So losing outfit means losing team. Or losing,
that's,
period.
That's right.
That's it.
Gotta look the part.
You know what? Shay's right. Yeah, he's right. I saw that too, and I'm just like, interesting, odd combination, but okay.
Awesome.
When I walk in, I want to look like the head coach, not an assistant.
Correct.
Tom Izzo in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood. Here we go.